Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Rum and Regret Podcast. I am Andy Drake.
Johanna Myers.
Nate Tussey, and we drink and we know things.
And we are going to throw down a quick extra shot because now all three of us have finally seen Joker.
Ba, 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 ba.
Sorry for hanging up, guys.
Hey, it's okay, Joe. We still love you. But as the most recent viewer of this movie, Joe, I would like love to hear your thoughts on what you thought of this movie and just in terms of just it is a movie and how it sort of fits into the greater DC universe, if it fits into the greater DC universe, or if it's just kind of those one of those sort of hinting at it. But what do you think?
Okay, so I absolutely freaking loved this movie.
Knew that you would.
Yeah.
And I'm really upset that it took me this long to watch it, but I had to watch it in my own time, and also it was free. So, loved it, loved it, loved it. So I'm a big fan of Joaquin Phoenix, and I love how he plays, like, kind of the underdog, little downtrodden, beat-up characters. So, obviously, this was in his wheelhouse, and I watched it with my husband and we were like, oh, this is going to be so good. And immediately, like the first probably 20 minutes, we're like, stop picking on him. Oh my God, leave him alone. He's going to turn around and kill all of you MRFers, which is kind of what happened. So,
spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
If you haven't seen it in the 10 months since it's been out.
But yeah, he did amazing. The story was great. The ties into the whole Batman universe, like the minute they started tying in Thomas Wayne and the when we see like young Bruce, I'm like hitting my husband like, that's Bruce Wayne! That's Bruce Wayne! And my one little critique would be I would have preferred it to end when he's dancing on the top of the taxi cab. Like the little ending of him in the hospital, I kind of feel like it pulled me out of it and it wasn't really needed.
Yeah.
And it kind of took away from kind of the power of that moment of him just like grooving on the car.
I think we said that in our, did we talk about this before or no?
I think we did.
We did, right?
At one point we did talk about it.
But just the, like the whole scene with him and on the talk show with
De Niro.
Yeah.
You get what you fucking pay for.
Oh my God. Yeah. That took my breath away. So great. You get what you fucking deserve. So that all being said, like now also I hate that this movie along with Fight Club has become kind of the incel battle cry. Which we'll go into that later, but
it was one of the concerns that actually was out in media, whatever, when they were releasing this because there was that whole upswing and violent protests and Proud Boys and all that shit.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of that kind of same undertone here, but it didn't happen. There was no uprising.
Yeah,
which and also it was very interesting watching this movie at this particular moment in time. Because I feel like the whole riot plot line has a little more gravitas.
No, that does.
Due to BLM and overall, like I loved it, and I'm gonna watch it a million times over again.
If you had to give it a numeral rating out of 10, what would you where would you throw it?
Oh, dude, 10.
Yeah,
solid 10.
Okay. I totally agree with you. Like, I think this is one of those movies that is going to be sort of, you know, I mean, written in just in terms of sort of how it fits into sort of the DC universe. And, you know, they've gone into this sort of several times. They did it in the Gotham TV series about sort of the inspiration of Joker and not necessarily telling a Joker origin story, but you tell a story of someone who inspired the Joker. You know, and just the fact that they did sort of leave it open in terms of well, did this happen? Or did this not happen? You know, we get one of those sort of Inception, those Inception endings of, where are we? You know, what are we doing? Did this actually happen? So in terms of the people that complained of, oh, you know, the Joker never had a name, and the fact that he was anonymous was, you know, his whole thing, and that's the best backstory for him. And, you know, and then we get this incredible story that could have happened, could have not happened, you know?
Well, and also it could have stood alone and not been, it could have just been a story about a man. It didn't have to be a Joker story. Like, for the first half of the movie, like, I was kind of like, I knew it was Gotham and that it was the Joker, but it was kind of like, until you get that, like, point where his mom is, like, writing to Thomas Wayne, you figure that out, and it's like, okay, so, yeah, this is Gotham, and it is a Thomas Wayne Gotham, and, you know.
Yeah, that was, you know, that aspect of tying it into the DC universe, you know, like, if they didn't have any of that in it, the movie still would have been fantastic. The movie still would have been a 10 for me, you know, if they just completely wrote out all of the DC flavor and called them something else. I think it still would have been up there and talked about, you know, for me, being the DC fanboy that I am. You know, grounding it in that universe and giving it those little nuggets of sort of DC goodness. You know, it's literally the cherry on top of a sundae for me. You know, the sundae's the best part of it, but just adding the cherry and the little nuts make it just that much better for me. So, I loved it. And just the fact that it could have not happened, still preserves the Joker's mystery and how he becomes the Joker intact. So just from that aspect, I thought it was fantastic. Like, I thought just that part alone was incredible. So I know that last scene sort of took you out of it, but for me, that sort of sold me on, well, goddamn, you know,
it's funny now talking to you about it. Like, because after we watched it, Ken and I were like, wait, so is that the beginning when he's in the hospital in the beginning, or is that after he gets captured and is in the hospital after? And so it was confusing to me, but now I'm kind of like, okay, it's supposed to be one of those.
Right.
Is it this point or this point? Did it happen? Did it not happen? Because, you know, the whole thing where he, you know, was dating the neighbor chick, and it turns out, like, you know, that was all in his head.
Yeah.
Like, was this whole thing in his head now? Now you've just spun my noodle and I want to watch it again.
Yeah. Just digging into it from that perspective, just because it was just like the Birds of Prey movie, the Harley Quinn movie, Birds of Prey, you're getting it from her perspective, but she's nuts. You know, her perspective is skewed, you know? And so that's what I loved about this, is that it's very much from his telling, from his perspective. And it's up to us to sort of bridge the gaps of what we're seeing in there. And that's how I took it in as a connoisseur of the DC universe. and especially for me, the Joker's backstory, that aspect alone, this was sort of more of a DC movie than it led on to be, you know, for me anyway. And it was just such a cool narrative into sort of how the Joker becomes the Joker in terms of inspiration, in terms of just, no, it was all in his head, you know, and that backstory for whoever becomes the Joker after this is still preserved. So, I just, so freaking incredible.
Also, in terms of, like, the, you know, in the vein of realistic Batman movies, like, this is the most realistic, I think, DC movie, bar none, period.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I will say that after not seeing half of them, but they're all, like, you know, comic book movies, but this is, like, not just gritty, but just realistic in terms of there's no like
crazy stuff.
It's just very like mental illness and how you deal with it and how you deal with, you know, living in a shitty city, poor, and you know.
Right. Yeah. There's no sort of fantastical element.
No, not at all.
So let's kind of play this out. Let's say the our Pat man works out because that looks like a gritty, realistic world. Do you get to introduce Joaquin Phoenix as Joker to one Harley Quinn in the hospital and pull them into kind of a joined world?
I don't think you need to connect these at all.
Well, I'm not saying that you need to. I'm saying, do you think it's something that they would consider?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I think pulling Joaquin Phoenix into a shared universe as the Joker would do a disservice to the movie.
Yeah, I did some research because, of course, I was like, are they making a second one? What are they doing? What's going to happen? It looks like they may do a sequel if the guy who directed it, whose name escapes me.
Todd Phillips.
Yep. If him and Joaquin are on board, they may do a second one.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of feel like this is one of those that should be left alone.
Yeah, I don't think you can do a sequel. I was just suggesting a cameo deal.
It would, if they could do it right, I think if our Pat's man ends up being worthwhile and does good, you know, maybe if it works to put the two of them together with a badass Harley Quinn, I mean, it would be like a wet dream. I just don't see it happening. Without being a disservice to Joker. Leave it alone. They did good. Leave it alone.
Yeah, and I think that you can, if you really want to piggyback off the success that this film was, you dig into because this was sort of termed this like DC Dark Universe, right? Or something like that. And you dig in and give those other characters sort of their sort of Joker treatment, you know, mm-hmm. like the Justice League Dark, you know, you can do sort of a really fun sort of Zatanna movie. You can do give me another Constantine movie. I'm itching for more Constantine content, you know?
Yeah.
You can do a Question movie, you know? I think that would be cool. And that could be a real fun sort of gritty noir sort of film. So you can pull all of these great characters that bring up the dark sort of side of the Justice League, and you can, you know, you can really, God damn, pick your fucking Gotham villain, you know, and give them a hardcore sort of origin story in terms of, we could get a good sort of crime boss Penguin, mm-hmm. you know, treatment if you wanted that.
And the cool thing at the end of the Joker for me, I got kind of excited about it, was the whole scene with him in the car and like all the rioters around him. I was like, there's his gang. Like when he becomes the, you know, top crime boss, there's all of his henchmen right there. They've just set it up perfectly.
Yeah.
So, you know, at that point I was like, okay, more, give me another one.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I totally agree. So, Nate, any other good nuggets?
No, I actually haven't seen this movie since. Sorry, let me sit up to the mic. I haven't seen this movie since I think it was released.
Okay.
I don't think I purchased this one yet. I think I was waiting for it to go on sale, and I think it just did. So I can watch it again. I mean, obviously, Oscar-winning performance.
Yeah.
Out of control, lead acting, supporting actresses. I can't remember. Was it Zazie Beetz? Was the neighbor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kills it. Absolutely loved her character there. De Niro kills it, obviously, with a talk show host. I like the movie overall. I think I agree with Joe about the cutoff time. I would have preferred that ending on the car hood and that be his crew and leave it at that, because that was so powerful. And then you kind of just, I mean, it's really, it was a harsh breaking, I guess, with that added end.
And I think that was put in for sort of the DC diehards to give them that. Oh no, yeah. Okay. It this could have just been in his head.
Yeah, the original ending was clearly the car scene.
Yeah.
And then they added something to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't seen any kind of director's cut or special cut, or I'd love to see what didn't make it in the movie. I want to see special features. You know, this doesn't seem like a movie that's going to have a lot of that stuff on the when you buy it digitally.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see some of the back of the house stuff. But yeah, overall, I loved it. I don't want to give it. I'm not going to give it a Billy Bob fucking tan. but it's definitely a 9 for me. I loved it.
I think it was just cool that DC allowed this movie and this story to get made.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that they were able to call it Joker, put their logo in front of it, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. make this movie, I just thought was so cool and such a great step. Because does Marvel make this movie? If there's a comparable, do you think they would?
Yeah, after Deadpool, are you kidding me? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but Deadpool was more of a comedy too. Like this.
No, I meant the rating.
Oh.
Yeah, after the R-rated success of Deadpool, it wasn't just because it was super funny, but
yeah. Like, do they make the Wolverine movie where he's, you know,
they
battling
did.
With?
Oh, Logan. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Logan. Fair point. Yeah.
Fair point. Well,
ding, 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 ding.
Never mind.
They already done did it.
Yeah. That's true. God damn. I completely forgot about Logan.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ed, final thoughts? Go see Joker. If you haven't already.
If you haven't seen it, riot, yeah. Don't walk to the Joker.
Yeah, dance down a staircase right into the movie theater. No,
good job, Joaquin.
So, yeah, let's do one final thought, actually. Where do you think Joaquin Phoenix lands on the hierarchy of Jokers for you guys?
Side by side with totally escaping my
Jack Heath Nicholson.
Yes. Yeah. No, side by side with Heath Ledger.
Yeah, I would agree.
Jack Nicholson is just a little bit below.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I kind of think that Joaquin Phoenix did a better job than Heath Ledger did.
Okay.
It's a different, given those characters on the same playing field, he has to do a lot more growth and character arc and that kind of thing versus Heath Ledger, who is just, they start him off as crazy Joker.
Right.
And even though nobody's ever going to do that crazy Joker better than Heath Ledger will, I think that Joaquin Phoenix had more work to do to get to the end. Yeah, both spectacular performances. I really can't pick a favorite, but if I have to, I might probably give a little bit of an edge to Joaquin Phoenix there, even though Heath Ledger is my favorite Joker.
Yeah.
Over Mark Hamill?
not in the conversation. He is hands down best voiceover.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right. So what did you guys think of this movie? Where do you think, how do you think it fits in sort of the DC pantheon of movies? Does it need to be there? Is it there? Does it work? Let us know. You can find us on Facebook at the Rum and Regret Podcast. You can find us online at rumandregret.com. You can find us on Twitter at @rub_regret. Joe, where can they find you?
Joe Chickadee on the socials and joechickadee.com.
Nate, where can they find you?
Avid Gamer on all the socials, AV1D Gamer.
All right. And I am Crazy Drake on Facebook, Andrew Drake on Twitter. And once again, we are the Rum and Regret Podcast. And until the next time, we have spoken. Da 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 da
You get what you fucking pay for.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant.